Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture. With your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection. Tonight's guest is an artist, an art historian, and the chair of the art department at Redeemer University College in Ancaster, Ontario. Chris Cudhill is also a practicing artist and will show works at an upcoming exhibit titled Double Cross at Hamilton's flagship gallery. Chris is on the phone with us from the Hamilton area to talk about Double Cross. But before we begin our conversation with Chris, let's listen to Story from Ally Matthews' new CD, So Shall We Love, Songs of Worship and Faith.
I am not my fear. I am not my failure. You tell me that I am a child of grace, forgiven and known. You are not asleep. You have not forsaken me. Ever present help, oh God, I'll trust in you alone. I'm broken and I am weak, but in emptiness I'm complete. There is no sorrow deep enough to pull me from your You see it all. You are the living one, and your story is not done. Oh, your story, you're making me new. So humbly now I come, for your story.
You're writing on my heart. You're clothing me with kindness, finishing the work of your own hands with mercy and light. Your promises endure. You make beauty out of ashes, filling up the canyon in my soul with songs in the night. I'm broken and I am weak, but in emptiness I'm complete.
There is no sorrow deep enough to pull me from your.
Now to our interview with Chris Cudhill. Good evening, Chris.
Good evening.
Now, what led to your, let's give our listeners a little bit of background about you. What led to your love for art?
I think I've always had a love for art. Going back to just being in high school, and I think it was being a bit of a freak and a geek who didn't fit in. It was a way of working through some of my issues and feelings, and it gave me a bit of a community of like-minded people. And it took a while for me to kind of connect art with larger questions of faith and. Those are some of the questions that I ask now.
Mm-hmm.
But that took a lot longer.
Well, was there ever any point in time where you suddenly realized that you were an artist? You could actually come out and say to people that, you know, I'm an artist? Or was that a process for you?
Well, it's always probably a process of taking steps as an artist. I suppose the... it wasn't until I was I graduated from an art program at university, and then I started exhibiting publicly that I called myself an artist. mm-hmm. professionally, I suppose.
Yeah. Now, who have been some of your influences as an artist? Who have been some other artists that you've looked up to and have said, you know, I'd like to be able to do what they've done?
Well, that's a really good question, because I am professionally both a practicing artist and an art historian. So as an art historian, it's hard to pinpoint any one person. And it really depends on what I'm working on at the time, what I'm influenced by. In the past, I've been very interested in Eastern Orthodox icons, and for a time, I saw myself as a protege of Andrei Rublev, the famous Russian iconographer. With my most recent show, I would probably say I looked more to the assemblage artists like Robert Rauschenberg for inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Well, you mentioned being an art historian. What kind of led you down that path to getting into art history?
Mm. I've always been interested in the conceptual, philosophical issues behind the interpretation of art. And so that was something that my undergraduate professor recognized in me, and she encouraged me to go on to graduate school. And so I did a program in philosophical aesthetics at the Institute for Christian Studies in Toronto, and then I continued into a PhD program with the Free University in Amsterdam, and things lined up, and I happened to get a position in art history teaching, and so I haven't looked back, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you're looking at art history, is there any particular period that you're drawn to?
Early modernism, I find, is just fascinating for me. So, everything from the post-impressionist right up to abstract expressionism. Mm-hmm. I this is a time of tremendous experimentation in art, and artists are constantly rewriting the rules and pushing the envelope, and there are so many new movements that are being opened up at this point in history. So it's quite fascinating for me, and I'm really drawn to the darker work of the German expressionists, from the Blaureiter to the Brucke, and to the works of the new objectivity artists. And that stuff that's responding to the inevitable push of fascism, the economic upheaval of the Weimar Republic, and trying to respond to that pain and finding a visual expression of that suffering and pain. It's fascinating stuff.
Mm-hmm. Well, looking at all that, and you ended up getting to the point where you started teaching it, and how did that come about in your journey, getting to that point of actually teaching art and helping young people understand how they can be creative and take their art outside into the world as well?
Well, to be honest, I've only actually been teaching studio art for the last 2 years. So up until that point, I was teaching strictly, history, concept, ideas. I was teaching courses engaging the theology of art, philosophical aesthetics, working with the philosophy department. The last couple of years, I've been branching out. And I have I've been teaching courses in computer design because that over the years has been my tent maker skill. As the Apostle Paul was able to go on his missionary journeys by making tents to financially support himself, I learned how to work with the Adobe Suite as a way of supporting myself over the years as a student and as an artist. And so I've been teaching courses in graphic design. I feel a real tension between the professor who's teaching concepts in history and this practitioner now who's teaching practical skills. So
Well, when you're looking at that, and you know, you've done the practical, and you've taught the philosophical. What is it about teaching younger people about art and what they can do with art that attracts you? That kind of, why is that important in this day and age?
Mm. Well, it's interesting. You know, you get a real mix of students and a real mix of educational backgrounds. And a lot of the students come out of very narrow, restrictive traditions where they've developed a love for, you know, painting and drawing, but they haven't really thought much about how their art can be a communicative device, how it can help them to deal with their own issues, how it can be a different way of communicating. And it's really fascinating to see students just figure this all out as they're opened up to new techniques and new media, and they begin to think conceptually about their approach. There is a radical growth period that happens from when they first arrive to when they graduate. And I just love being able to then send them out into the world and see what they do with that.
Mm-hmm.
It's such an important transitionary point where, you know, they've developed some skills, so you're not starting at ground zero, but you can then take what they've learned and really work with it. And through those 4 years, have an intensive period of change and growth.
Well, I think on that note, we're going to take a quick break and be right back and with our guest artist, Chris Cotthill. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM. Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to We Remember from Stratford, Ontario, singer-songwriter Ali Matthews' latest CD, So Shall We Love, Songs of Worship and Faith. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our interview with artist Chris Cotthill. You mentioned earlier that you did digital design and that became your tent making endeavor. But you also look at, I was looking up some research on you, and your bio says you also work in mixed media, collage, woodblock printing. Is there any one media that you prefer to the other?
You know, it really depends on what I'm dealing with at any given moment. I look for the media that seems to fit the content and the message. So it's always helpful to me to have a basket of tools from which to draw from. And there are various seasons in the life of an artist, and you know, you may just feel at a time that you want to make nothing but woodblock prints, and that's what you're doing at that moment. And then the seasons change, and you move on to something else. At this point, I'm really interested in mixed media collage.
Mm-hmm. Well, in looking at that, I mean, that I think, isn't that one of the things that double cross is comprised of, is a lot of mixed media elements.
Yeah.
Now, double cross opens up at Flagship Gallery in November. What can you tell us about that exhibit?
Well, so the whole idea of double cross, it arises out of an academic interest of mine. And that is the appropriation of cross imagery in Holocaust art. And so there's this whole rich tradition of Jewish artists who are responding to the pain and the suffering of the Holocaust, and they utilize the image of the suffering Christ. And this is a real challenge for me and a real question. Why are they doing that? I mean, there seems to be multiple meanings in that symbol. Some of them are seizing it as a symbol of both general suffering and particular Jewish suffering, and then others are using it as the image of Christ as a kind of a paradigm for human suffering in a tradition that is aniconic. It has no image for God. And then I think others are using this as a way of reminding viewers that the symbol of the suffering Christ has been used in history as a sort of oppression against the Jewish people. So it's a real mixed symbol. And so this particular show is in some ways an exploration of the multivalent nature of the suffering Christ in the context of genocide. So the show itself is arranged as the 14 stations of the cross, and the show explores 13 of the for lack of a better term, the genocidal events with the largest body count in the 20th century. So ranging from the first genocide of the 20th century, which is the Congolese genocide, to the current persecution of Christians in the Levant in Syria. I examined each one of these genocidal moments as an opportunity for reflection on the stations of the cross, and trying to figure out how those two narratives come together with an eye towards the tradition of Jewish artists using that symbol in mixed ways as a way of laying on new meaning. And so the title of the show is called Double Cross, which has it's a bit of a play on words, and it has two meanings.
Mm-hmm.
So a double cross can be a cross made for two. It's within the Christian tradition, we tend to place the suffering of Christ on a separate level beyond human suffering. And it is that suffering that gives our suffering a sense of meaning. But there are deeper questions about the role and the place of God in human suffering that are not sufficiently answered by that easy explanation. Now, there's a whole problem within theology, known as the problem of theodicy. You know, where is God when we suffer? And that's certainly a question that you have to ask if you have to bury a child.
Mm-hmm.
But the ante is really upped when we consider the place of God in genocide. And that's where I come to the second meaning within that term. Because to double cross is, you know, to betray, it's to deceive somebody that you are supposedly in relationship with, or you're supposedly cooperating with in a covenant. And so, the Holocaust and genocide in general raises this question. If God is God, a covenant God who cares for his people, why did he allow the Holocaust to happen? And so, I think good art raises lots of questions.
Mm-hmm.
That good art doesn't necessarily give you the answers. And I think these are questions that every generation has to ask anew. And because we are constantly dealing with suffering and genocide within our world, there are questions that are not going to go away anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. I had a chance to look at some of the images on your website, and they're moving. You have in each image an actual double cross in there, and I think when people have a chance to see this, there, like you say, it's going to raise a lot more questions than give answers.
Yeah, this is an interesting one, because the actual image of the double cross is one that it's very unsettling.
Mm-hmm.
for some people.
Yeah.
And I remind them that there is a precedent for thinking about the cross in this way within the biblical story itself. Now, we are daily called to pick up our cross. The Apostle Paul talks about his suffering, completing the suffering of Christ. So they're embedded within the biblical story is the sense that suffering continues, and that this cross really is made for more than one.
Mm-hmm. Well, on that, let's take one final break, and then we'll finish our conversation with artist Chris Cuthill. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM.
They told me that God lives with the hungry, so if it's God you want to know, you know where to go. And they told me, among the poor and needy, the heart of God is bleeding like a warrior of hope. So I traveled to a distant land, and I discovered more than I had planned. I saw Jesus shining in their eyes, piercing through the darkness, a pure and holy light.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to I Saw Jesus from Ellie Matthews' latest CD, So Shall We Love. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with artist Chris Cuthill. Chris, as we've been talking and looking at the upcoming Double Cross exhibit, what are you hoping people are going to take away from that exhibit? What are some of the questions you hope that may be evoked in people's mind as they look at the images?
Well, I hope that, for Christians who look at that particular show, I hope they're reminded that the heart of the Christian story really is a wasted and twisted body of a suffering God who ends that story to be present in our suffering. And that's a scandalous image. It's a scandalous idea. And it is an idea that estranges all of our easy answers about what suffering means. Mm-hmm. It can give us a sense of confidence in a God who will ultimately bring everything together. But I think it also asks us to be honest about our human frailty and our own pain. And for those who are coming outside of the Christian tradition, I hope that they will see that Christians can be taking these questions seriously. I think, you know, too often the whole notion of Christian hope can take on this triumphal inflection, and that is a real put off for people who are outside the Christian tradition. So to see somebody who is who says, yeah, you know what, I identify with this story, I'm part of this story, but I'm still asking questions. And I invite you to come along with me and ask questions on your own journey as you ask, who is God and how does God fit in with the story of human suffering? Because I think we all ask that, mm-hmm. Regardless of what tradition we come out of or how we align ourselves with a faith story. I think everybody asks the question, you know, what is wrong with this world and how are we going to fix it? And ultimately, the question of God will fit into a person's worldview as they ask those questions for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Well, quickly, can you give us details about the exhibit? When and where is it taking place?
So the show is taking place at Flagship Gallery. It opens November 11th. It runs till December 2nd. And there is more information on the Flagship website. And there's also information on my personal website, which is www.chriscuthill.com, and you can see the images from the exhibition on that website as well.
Great. Chris, thanks very much for your time tonight.
Thank you very much, Robert.
Thank you for listening to Arts Connection Day and thanking my guest, Chris Cuthill. And if you miss a broadcast or want to hear it again, look for archive programs on our website at artsconnection.ca. And be sure to tune in next week for another look where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@artsconnection.ca. Follow us on Twitter at @SayLaw13. Look for the Arts Connection page on Facebook or check out the Arts Connection blog at blog.artsconnection.ca. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.